Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text today is a portion, it is the epistle as written in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And the theme this morning that Paul is writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, that he's writing to an old pastor named me, and to young pastors here, or pastors-to-be, here in our congregation. But not only that, to writing to all Christians, and he's telling us, do your duty. My dear friends in Christ Jesus, the book of 2 Timothy is Paul's final words, his last instructions to a young pastor, Timothy. Every pastor, includes this one, and men studying to be approved of God, must and should carefully study this epistle. In our text this morning, Jesus, through Paul, tells his under-shepherd how he should conduct his ministry. And you, as the church, should carefully listen so that you will know what is expected of your pastor. But first, it's important that we hear what Timothy wrote, what Timothy heard from Paul as Paul wrote to him. Prior to our text this morning, Paul writes these words in verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, betrayers, reckless, swollen with deceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. You see, these words were written to Timothy, a young pastor, telling Timothy, this is what you're going to find, not necessarily in the world, but what you're going to find in the church. This is something that I have to deal with, and I pray with, and I pray about, and it's something that Hayden and Trey will have to deal with. But then it brings us to our text. For the words that you just heard are the answer, are Paul's answer to this young pastor. And Paul writes, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Thus, verses 14 and 15 of our text this morning. Timothy began to learn the Scriptures from his childhood. Timothy's father was a Greek, but his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, they were the two women who taught Timothy the Scriptures. And they taught him because they were Christian women. Timothy, because of his mother and his grandmother, and now Paul, should continue in what he has learned. Timothy must remember all what his mother and grandmother and what Paul has taught him. Because what they have taught him, dear ones, is the truth. What is taught from this book is the truth, as long as this book is taught. But it's important for us to also know that Timothy's faith isn't according to his mother or grandmother or even according to Paul. No, his faith is from the Word. It's the Word that has given Timothy faith to believe all that he has been taught. Please always remember, write this verse upon your heart. So faith is by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. Faith is by hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. The Holy Bible is reliable. The words of Christ, written down for you by men, so that you will know the truth, so that you will know that where this book comes from comes for your salvation, so that you will have faith when you hear the word rightly preached, and when the word is rightly taught. So that you will know, dear ones, that Jesus Christ, that He is your only Lord and your only Savior. Paul continues writing and he says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Dear ones, all through human history, there is no philosophical writing. There is no writings from the ancient writers, from ancient religions, if you will. There are no oracles or any revelation that is written by man that ever claimed that they had divine inspiration, that what they wrote came from God. Therefore, this is important for us, for Paul is telling us this morning that what he has written isn't borrowed or copied from any other source. What Paul has received, he has received from God. Paul is attesting to the fact that this book, that the book that you open and read, the book that I pray that you study, that you read Mark, learn, and inwardly digest, that this Holy Scripture is God's Word. It is His unadulterated Word, and they are words of truth, breathed out by Him, He Himself, the Old Testament and the New Testament. For example, in John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus promised that He would send the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit would come and teach them all truth. So then, hear the Word of God as breathed into the Apostle Peter. Peter wrote, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This book, dear ones, is a holy book, the only true holy book, for these are holy words from a holy God given to men to write so that you can know and understand what Jesus has done for all of you. Unlike any other ancient writing of man, or for that matter, any writing of man, these words are useful. These words are useful for the purpose of your spiritual growth. So as you learn and believe God's Word, not only does God's Word bring salvation, but they are useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. The first three are easily understood. Teach, rebuke, correct. But what about this training in righteousness? What is training in righteousness? Training in righteousness must be understood in the sense of upright Christian conduct. As a Christian, you are to conduct yourselves as one having been declared righteous by your holy and just God. Yes, you have been declared not guilty. The gavel is dropped. And because of what Jesus has done for you, your Father in heaven says, you are no longer guilty because of what my Son has done for you. Your sin is forgiven. And now you can stand before me, your holy and just God, and live forever. Now the question may arise, Who is this man of God? Some may think that it's only your pastor. The expression that is used by Paul, he uses only two times. Here in our text this morning, and also in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The word that Paul uses for man is rightly translated mankind. All human beings. Thus, Paul is saying men and women. We are all people of God. And since we are people of God, created in His image, we are to be equipped. We are to be made ready, fitted, completed, perfected for every good work. And those good works that we are to do are the works that we do for our neighbor. It is God working through us so that our neighbor will hear the truth of His word, so that our neighbor will be supplied for all they need in this body and life. In Lutheranism, we call it our vocation. It's kind of a murky term at times, but for all of our farmers here, you're fulfilling your vocation as you do your work on your farm. And you're feeding people all over the United States. They don't even know you, and you don't know them. But because of your work is deemed good in the sight of God because you're serving your neighbor. You see, we are to be equipped. We are to be made ready. And that's my responsibility. Although, yes, your pastor is called a man of God also, you also do the work that is described in this book. We too, each of us, are to put on that full armor of God and to go to work. We are to do our duty. So now that you will fully understand, God does give orders, and He does give orders to His under-shepherds, to His pastors. And in a very clear and concise matter, in very clear and concise orders, Jesus is telling your pastor also to do his duty. These are the words that Timothy wrote, that Timothy heard from Paul as they were written to him. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, you will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. There's my orders. Dear ones, there is my orders. And there are the orders that will be given to Hayden and to Trey and to every man studying for the holy ministry. These are the orders that we are to fulfill. This is our duty. And these are very serious orders. Notice what Paul says. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. These are strong words. These are words meant for me. These are words that are telling me that if I don't do my duty, I will deserve my just reward, which is hell. You see, these are eschatological words, words of judgment, but they're also words of peace and reassurance. It's telling us that on the great last day, the King of the universe, the judge, will come back with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We've heard this before. And what will He do? He will come as our judge. And we pastors, we will stand a more severe judgment because of what we have done or left undone. Whether we have preached the word or not preached the word. Whether we have done all that has been commanded here or we have not done it. What is the first command? We must hear and understand this. Your pastor is to preach, to herald the word. Kerouzon ton logon. Sound familiar? It's the motto of the seminary up at Fort Wayne. Proclaim the word. Herald the word. God has called your pastor. to be a herald, to be a proclaimer, and not to be a hero, and not to keep his mouth shut. Your pastor's first order is this: to preach the word, to preach the law and the gospel, and make sure that they are distinct and that you hear and understand them. So hear this, dear ones, that each of you have fallen short of the glory of God. And in your sin, you too deserve hell. You cannot appease God. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot slide through the back door, because there's not a back door. There's nothing that you can do to appease a holy and just God, because you and I are sinners. We have no merit. We have no standing before God. Why? Because God hates your sin. Notice what I said. God hates your sin. He doesn't hate you. He hates the sin that you commit daily and much. And he hates my sin too, which I commit daily and much. Therefore, in our sin, we are idolaters. We misuse God's name. At least some of you, refuse to hear his word and to rightly worship him. You murder, commit adultery, steal, lie, gossip, and covet everything that is your neighbor's. That's what a sinner does, and that is the definition of sin. And that's the definition of you and me. Sin condemns us. Sin tells us that we have no standing, that we have no hope, that because of our sin, because of Adam and Eve, we will all die. Yet, your pastor is also to herald, to proclaim the sweetness of the Holy Gospel. What is that honey that the Lord has given us? We are to preach the Holy Gospel by saying that Jesus Christ has come, and in his baptism, his sin became your sin. Have you ever thought of this? Jesus, a sinless man, took on your sin, and he became sin for us. And because of our sin, he freely went to the cross for us. And there he was nailed to this cross, and he died for you and for me and for our sins. There at the cross, in the shedding of his most holy and precious blood, all your sin was washed away. Because of what Jesus has done for you, you can now stand before a holy and just God and live forever. Dear friends, each time you come to this place and you hear the preaching of the law, it tells you that there is no hope. But then you also hear the sweetness of the gospel, that there is hope in Christ Jesus. He has won the kingdom for you, and he's given it to you. Given it to you as a free gift. Yet, we have many members of our congregation who walk away from the gift, who walk away from the sacraments, who walk away from the preached word, and they call themselves Christian. How can that be? How can that be that they think they're Christians when they never hear the word? Where's their faith? When they never have their faith strengthened in body and blood. They never hear the preaching of the law, and they never hear the preaching of the gospel. But thanks be to Jesus that the Holy Spirit has brought you here today to hear all about the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ Jesus, and that he has saved each and every one of you. You are no longer condemned. The law no longer has any hold on you, for you are his, and you will live with him. You will live with him forever. That's what a pastor is to preach. A pastor isn't to stand here and not open this book and not preach from it. A pastor is not to stand before the people and talk about what they've done on their vacation and what other people are doing or not doing, or preach about any other fanciful thing in society. That will not save you. The only thing that saves you is to know that you are a sinner, and then to know that Jesus has died for your sin, and that He is your Savior, and that He is the only way, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. This is what a pastor is to do. A pastor is also to use the word to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. He is to correct false attitudes and false teachings. He is to give you a sense that you are protected, that He is standing in the breach for you, and that when false teaching comes in the church, I am the one who will stop it. That's what a pastor is to do. A pastor is to rebuke you. If you fall into sin, I will call it sin. I won't say that it's a minor shortcoming. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. No, it's a sin. And if you sin against God and you fail to repent of your sin, then you will die in your sin. A pastor is to tell you the truth. A pastor is to always encourage you, to cheer you with the words of forgiveness, that Jesus has died for your sin. Trust in Him. He will not fail you, as He has told you all. I am always with you, and I will never leave or forsake you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. This is what a pastor does. A pastor isn't one given to money, who doesn't want everything for him or herself, who doesn't want you to idolize them, to put them on a pedestal, to treat them like God, because I am not God. There is only one God who has saved you. Therefore, be encouraged, dear ones, that when you hear the preached word from this pulpit, you will hear law and you will hear gospel. You will hear the truth of this book, for we will continue to preach from this book. Then Paul says something that's quite disturbing to all of us. He begins describing the church of today, and actually the church of then also. The church that Paul describes is a false church. It's an apostate church. It's a church that will kill you spiritually. Paul says that you are to be given to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is this book. This is health right here. This is your medicine, dear ones. When you read this book, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest it. When you hear it preached, you are made healthy by the blood of the Lamb. Yet, there are many who are in churches today that they are not hearing the preached word. They are hearing other things. They are coming to a concert. They're having all kinds of fun. They never receive body or blood. They never hear the preached word. They don't understand baptism. They come and they act like Christians. But are they really Christians? All they want is for their ear to be tickled. Yes, for their ear to be tickled. How does that save you? You see, Paul is speaking of a condition that will appear in the churches, and it's already here in our society today. Look about you. Look about you, dear ones. There are churches who are proclaiming a new doctrine that is not found in here. If it's not found in here, it's a doctrine of the devil. There are churches who are fed up, so they say, with the old-time religion. That means they are fed up with this book. They are not satisfied with one preacher. Therefore, they hop from church to church to church, to preacher to preacher to preacher, because they always want the itch to be scratched. Notice the contrast, though. We are to hear the word from truth, and we are not to be given to myths. Myths are those false doctrines, those false teachings, which only mislead people and lead them directly to the fires of hell. Sinful human nature, yes, I understand it, would rather have weeds than wheat, would rather have earthly enjoyment than eternal security, would rather have false doctrine than to hear the truth. underlying this verse, if you really look at it closely, Paul is telling us about the viciousness of fallen human beings, that men and women would stand before other people and spew lies, lies about God and lies about His Word. Lord, have mercy upon them. Yet God tells your pastor today, and He's telling each and every one of us, that we must keep sober. We must keep on being sober. Sober implies that we are to be free from the enthusiasm, from the excitement, from the novelties, from having our ears scratched. We must be vigilant. We must have the presence of mind to know that when we hear the truth, that the truth is coming from only this book, that we must not be carried away by follies and fables and evil opinions. So now, as we end, our text ends as it begins. As your pastor must do, so we together must also do. We must do our duty. We must suffer evil, yet we must do the work of an evangelist. We must carry on the ministry to the very end. You see, we must continue. There's no stopping in the middle. There's no 75%. There's no 99.999%. It's finish to the end. And we will do this together. We will continue the ministry of proclaiming law and gospel, of caring for each other, of forgiving each other, of being faithful to our Lord, of keeping our eyes fixed on Him, keeping our eyes fixed on our Lord Jesus, the finisher and perfecter of our faith. For only in Him do you and I have salvation. Only through Him do we have the forgiveness of all sins. Therefore, dear ones, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I joyfully announce to all of you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.